I'm Lynn Neary, sitting in for Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we examine a documentary that chronicles South Africa's struggle to build its education system. But first, former Republican Senator Fred Thompson has stopped testing the waters and has become an official candidate for the White House. He announced his candidacy on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and also on his own website.
My friends, I come to you today to tell you that I intend to run for president. I feel deeply that I'm doing it for the right reasons. I love my country, and I'm concerned about its future.
The week also saw Capitol Hill Republicans struggling to retire the scandal over Senator Larry Craig's conviction on disorderly conduct charges in a Minnesota men's room. And two prominent African-American public figures are dividing their support between the frontrunners in the Democratic presidential race. Joining us to talk about the week in politics is Melissa Harris-Lacewell. She's a professor of politics at Princeton University. Also with us is Josue Sierra. He's an associate editor at the conservative online community townhall.com. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm glad to be here.
Let's begin with you, Josue. How could Fred Thompson now overcome the field of more established candidates, or can he, do you think?
Well, he's definitely taking a very unconventional approach, skipping the debate, announcing on Jay Leno. He knows the media. I think he's definitely mastered the TV medium, and so in that sense, who knows, there might be a surprise. I would definitely not say that he's a front runner. He seems to be very popular, but just stepping in so late could be a problem for him.
And Melissa, a lot has been made about Thompson's appeal to conservative Republicans and Republican primary voters, but do you think there might be a broader interest out there among independents and maybe even some Democrats that would help him in a general election if he got to the general election?
You know, I don't know if you could just listen to the inflection of Thompson on that clip you just played. He sounds like a Republican presidential candidate. And that's extremely important for both attracting the money, as well as, I think, kind of giving a sense of comfort to many of these GOP voters who are relatively new to the party over the past 20 years.
You know, he may sound good, but Josue, do Republicans, or anyone for that matter, really have an idea of what Fred Thompson really stands for?
Well, I don't know. I think the voters are looking for an alternative. I think in a sense there's still a lot of people out there that are not satisfied with the leading contenders. And so in that sense, that's why you're still hearing a lot of news about Thompson and people like Huckabee, Brown, or Ron Paul. So in that sense, it gives him a chance. I would agree we might not know a lot about him. But then again, neither Romney's record as a conservative is not that long. He just recently started shifting his position. So relatively speaking, I think all the politicians are showing a lack of record in certain key areas that conservatives look for.
Well, what do you think, Melissa?
We'd like to believe that that's how voters are all about asking these questions about record and qualifications. But the truth is that what Fred Thompson did this week was a power move, where instead of showing up for the Republican debate, he, you know, had his own forum there on Jay Leno, where he was able to look relaxed, where he wasn't competing, and he was basically saying, look, I'm above all of this.
Melissa, Thompson may have skipped the Republican debate in New Hampshire this week to announce his candidacy on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, but the candidates who did attend, they all talked about the Iraq War, and all of them, with the exception of Ron Paul, seemed to be supporting the president. That would work well with Republican audiences, but how well does that translate to the broader electorate?
Well, again, you know, it really is two elections here. One is the primary, and then the second is the general. And we actually see a great deal of movement when candidates win their party's nomination, and then when they're being elected in the general election. It was certainly true with Bush, with Clinton. So I think this is the right strategy for now.
Well, Fred Thompson, as we've already mentioned, did not participate in that debate, but he did talk about Iraq and whether the U.S. should stay in Iraq in his conversation with Jay Leno. Let's hear what he had to say in that.
I think we stay till we get the job done, Jay. I don't think that
What is the definition of the job done?
Well,
I think that's a part that confuses people.
Until it is pacified enough for those people who walk through those lines with people shooting at them in some cases, who voted and put their finger in the ink and so forth, until they have an opportunity to have a free life and to not be killed by Al-Qaeda and others fighting in that part of the world.
Josue, there seems to be a kind of split among the GOP candidates about whether the U.S. should stay in Iraq for the good of the Iraqi people or for the American people to make a stand on the so-called war on terror. Which argument do you think is most effective with a Republican audience?
Some of that has been just some difficulties in communicating and articulating the message, because the truth of the matter is having a peaceful Iraq, or an Iraq that is under some amount of control and law and order, is good for the American people, because we've seen the fostering of terrorism that happened prior to that. Now, the problem has been that that message has not been articulated, and so there's this whole issue of why are we there? And that has given a chance to other people like Ron Paul, who are saying we shouldn't be there in the first place, or the argument that we're not there because of terrorism, but because of other reasons.
You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary, sitting in for Michelle Martin. And we're discussing the week in politics with Josue Sierra of townhall.com and Melissa Harris-Lacewell of Princeton University. Let's turn to a story about the Democratic candidates now. Oprah Winfrey is set to host a major fundraiser for Barack Obama this weekend, and former basketball star Magic Johnson will have an event supporting Hillary Clinton next week. Melissa, what effect could these two endorsements have on the race at this point, if any?
I just have to love this for the pure, you know, theater and drama of all of this. So I think the most possibly dangerous situation for the Oprah-Obama connection is that Oprah Winfrey is, you know, a very free agent and has been for decades now on her show. By allowing her to become an endorsing voice of the Obama campaign, anything that Oprah Winfrey says on her show, from here until the election, the mic will immediately now go to Barack Obama, and they will say, oh, Oprah Winfrey said X. Do you agree or not agree? And similarly, whatever Barack Obama says on the campaign trail will now have to be vetted through Oprah Winfrey. They both have an awful lot of star power and an awful lot of autonomy that could, down the line, be very difficult for both of them to maintain. The Magic Johnson thing on Hillary Clinton is just bizarre, as far as I can tell. I'm not sure exactly what is the nature of this particular endorsement, but I do want to caution that African-American voters are not going to be swayed by either of these multimillionaire African-Americans. That is just not what moves the black vote.
Josue, as celebrity endorsements can really cut both ways. I mean, there can be a backlash against these kinds of endorsements. So is there a downside for either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama being closely associated with either one of these personalities, do you think?
If anything, the Oprah Winfrey endorsement is perhaps the bigger deal because of her audience and the vast reach of her show. As far as Magic Johnson, I find it strange because he hasn't really been in the media in perhaps, even years? I mean, mm-hmm. He's a businessman. Last I've heard, he's been very successful, obviously dealing with his HIV-positive status. But other than that, it's kind of surprising. It's sort of like he's coming out into the light now with this endorsement, and so it's what does he have up to his sleeve? It's just kind of strange.
Finally, we have to get to the scandal involving Idaho Senator Larry Craig. That was in the news all this week. He had announced his intention to leave his Senate post. Then it seemed that he was going to fight for his job. Now it looks like his retirement is back on again. What does all this mean, Josue, for Republicans, especially congressional Republicans, coming up for election?
Well, it's unfortunate because it just continues to erode the trust of the public places in our elected official, and so in that sense it is. But it's also reflective of the nature of the Republican Party. When these sorts of morally, socially reprehensible behaviors are identified, there's immediate repercussions. The party has quickly and unequivocally called for his retirement. In that sense, it's almost a non-story. I don't know what the story is about. He's obviously tried to, said he was going to resign and then said he might not, and now he is, and that is the right thing. He needs to resign. If he doesn't, then he should be definitely pushed aside.
Well, what do you think, Melissa?
This, to me, is the powerful moment that, in fact, what, for example, the Larry Craig incident tells us is we should not be policing the sexuality of consenting adults. I find it, as an American citizen, appalling that as we are coming up on the anniversary of September 11th, that what they're doing in airports is policing the consensual activity of sex between adult consenting males rather than dealing dealing with the other security issues that we have at airports. So I'm actually a big supporter of Larry Craig coming back to the Senate. I don't think that adult people engaged in consensual sexual activity should be caught in the stings of our law enforcement. And I think the Republicans should really get behind increasingly thinking about the ways that we should make sex a private matter.
On the other hand, the argument has been made that in the case of somebody like Senator Craig, somebody like this, there are those who have been trying to out Senator Craig because they believe that he is homosexual and that he has many of his votes have gone against the homosexual community on issues like gay marriage, things like that. This raises the whole question of outing, which is something separate from what you're saying about catching people in.
Yeah, and the thing is, it wasn't a private thing. This was in a public bathroom. I mean, if it was in a bedroom, we could set politics aside and say, sure, I mean, if two consenting adults want to do that. Now, it was irresponsible, antisocial. It's just a self-destructive behavior in a public bathroom. I mean, can you imagine a father with his child in the bathroom and something like this happening? Most Americans can agree that that is disgusting and is not proper conduct for any person, much less one of our elected officials. And that's
really
the story.
Well, I don't think that we should make public policy based on questions of disgust. In fact, I think that, for example, the presence of African Americans in the presence of white people throughout the South was considered disgusting for 100 years. And I actually am a big fan of instead making public policies and laws based on what protects and keeps us safe as citizens to protect our individual capacity for human freedom.
Okay, thanks very much. Melissa Harris-Lacewell is a professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University, and she joined us from their studios. And Josue Sierra is an associate editor at the conservative online community townhall.com. He blogs at josue.townhall.com, and he joined us here in our studio. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.